But today we're going to talk about Sabbath. We're going to talk about what it means to have Sabbath and what it means to have rest. Back in the 1960s, Time Magazine had an article that they had. They were reporting on some testimony that was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. And part of the report was that these experts said that because of advances in technology would lead to a drastic decrease in the amount of hours worked. And that this would lead to early retirements. And that we would actually have a problem finding out what to do with all of our leisure time. That this advancing technology would lead us to the point where we would have so much free time, we'd have to figure out what to do with it. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm wanting to know where some of that free time is. The more retirees that I talk to tell me they're busier after they retire than when they were working. That they have more things to do once they don't have anything to do. See, Americans actually work an average of 60 hours a year more than every other industrialized country. We work more in America than other countries work. There are actually some countries that mandate all of their people have 30 days of vacation a year. We have trouble in America mandating maternity leave. And they're giving 30 days of vacation to their workers every year. Most people, more work means more stress. Stress is the number one cause of health problems, mentally and physically. Stress is a major contributing factor to the 6 leading causes of death in the United States. Cancer, coronary heart disease, accidental injuries, respiratory disorders, cirrhosis of the liver, and suicide. Stress leads to an increase in all of those. And when it comes to the stresses that we have in life, sometimes we need to understand that work isn't the only stress that comes in life. How many people have to deal with family stress? Family stress is a huge cause, and we just came from the holidays. And sometimes the holidays cause more family stress. Social media. Social media is one of those things that's supposed to be great things for us. You know that the average American spends 2.4 hours a day on social media. Now, notice I said the average American, because I know what a lot of people think. As soon as I say that, a lot of people think, well, those kids are always on TikTok and Instagram, and it's the kids that are running that up. I can tell you from my experience, it's not. I can tell you from my experience that adults spend just as much time on social media as their kids. And I can tell you that I actually have kids come to me and complain to me that they try to have a conversation with their parents, but they won't put their phones down to have a conversation with them. So I'm not throwing the blame at the kids. I'm throwing the blame at all of us. The average American watches 2.4 hours of TV a day. And I'm not even going to get into travel sports and the entire weekends that get taken up with the things that go on there. We have a lot of stuff in our lives that take our time, they take our energy, and they cause us stress. They cause us to have mental breakdowns. They cause us to have physical issues. They cause us to have all kinds of problems. But the awesome thing about this is that God knew all the way back at the beginning that we were going to have this problem. He knew what we were going to do, and he created a solution for us. Because he knew the danger. He knew the danger in what would happen if we overwork ourselves and we cause ourselves too much stress. This is what John Ortberg says. He says, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. God knew that if we became so stressed and so concentrated on our time, the things that we have to do and the relationships, if we became so concentrated on everything around us that we would lose concentration and focus on him. And I don't know if you've noticed, you have people in your life that they still believe. They still will claim that they know who Jesus is. But when you take a look at their life, you don't see the evidence of it in their lives because they haven't renounced their faith, but they've settled for a mediocre version of it. So what's God's solution to this? What does God give us to help us with this? He gives us the Sabbath. This is what he says in Exodus chapter 20. This is part of the Ten Commandments. This is so important that it's in the Ten Commandments. And this is what he says in chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. I'm going to pause right there for a minute. Do you guys know what the word holy means, right? It means set apart. So God says in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day and set it apart. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God says, listen, the Sabbath is an incredibly important thing. And I want you to set apart. You got 6 days to work. Part of the curse is that working the ground is going to be difficult. Working in life is going to be difficult. There are toils. There are things that we have to do. Work is going to be difficult. That's why it's a four-letter word. Work is going to be tough. But you've got to set apart a time for me. You have to set apart time to Sabbath with me. You have to set apart time to rest. You have to set aside time. Now, rest is an interesting thing because when we start talking about rest, there's like, well, what kind of rest are we talking about here? Because I can rest. But I can also rest with God. Sabbath is this awesome thing, and that Sabbath is meant to be a rest and a rest with God. I'm going to give you an example of Sabbath. We're going to go to First Kings. This is, yes, I know everybody loves to make fun of me, but I have a ton of favorite stories in the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is so awesome and interesting. And if you read the Bible and you're trying to see what God means and says in your life, there are so many cool stories in the Bible. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it comes right after one of my favorite stories in the Bible. So you got Elijah, he shows up and he challenges the priest of Baal to a competition. He says, hey, let's put some altars out. We're going to have this competition to see whose God can light the altars on fire. You guys go first. And Elijah kind of sits back. The prophets of Baal build their altar and they sacrifice their bulls and everything and they set it up and they start praying to Baal, and Elijah just kind of sits back and doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything, just kind of sits there and is like, all right, let's see what's going on. A couple hours pass by. The prophets of Baal start cutting themselves and like throwing their blood all over the altar like, Baal, please hear us. And this is what I love. Elijah is so sarcastic. He starts saying stuff like, maybe you should yell louder. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's taking a nap and you need to wake him up. My favorite is, maybe he's outside of camp and you need to get his attention. Outside of camp is a nice way of saying he's using the restroom. So Elijah is like really throwing some shots at the prophets of Baal. And then Elijah's like, all right, you guys have had your chance. It's my turn now. And he walks up and he rebuilds the altar and he gets the wood and he sacrifices the bull and he sets it up. And then he has him like pour a ton of water on the altar. And then he prays to God and he's like, all right, God, make it happen. And fire shoots down from the sky and burns up that altar, licks up all the water that's in the trench that he dug, comes over and burns up the other altar that's over there and all their stuff. And he's like, all right, I've just proven to you that God is the only God. And then everybody goes and they kill a bunch of the prophets of Baal. And Elijah has this awesome day and then prays for rain because it hasn't rained in like years. And he has this awesome day. He has done all of this work. He has done all of these amazing things. And I don't know if you guys have had this, but you have this awesome day where everything is going right and everything is just yes. And then he has one bad thing happen and he's like, shoot, I mean, he's had this day where he has proven God's existence and they have killed hundreds of prophets of Baal. And then the queen says, hey, far be it from me, but if I'm still alive tomorrow, the gods can shoot me dead if you're still alive tomorrow. And Elijah's like, man. And so Elijah, this is where we pick up. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the brush tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there at his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So again, if you're having a bad day, what does Elijah do? What's his rest? He takes a nap and eats a snack. When you're dealing with a toddler who's having issues, what are the two things you say to them? Are you tired? Do you need a nap? Do you need a snack? Why does that change when we become an adult? Why does that change? You're having a bad day and somebody comes up to you and says, are you having a bad day? Yes. Do you need a nap? Yes. If you come to the church and my door's open and you can't find me, don't tell Byron I said that. Now I lost where I was. Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. After the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Basically, what he's saying here is, I'm overworked. I'm stressed. I have been putting it all on the line, and I have been working hard. I have been working zealously for the Lord. I am worn out. The Lord said, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. How does Elijah rest? What does he do? He's resting. His body needs rest, and his soul needs rest. He gets the rest he needs in the nap. He gets the rest he needs in the snack, and he gets the rest that he needs by spending time with God. In the world that he was in, you would think that mighty whirlwind would have signified that was God, but no, it wasn't God. It was just noise. The earthquake, that was obviously God because things are moving here. It wasn't God. It was just movement. But it has to be the fire, because remember fire from just the previous chapter. It has to be fire because that's really getting things hot. It was just fire. But notice that Elijah was so intent on the presence of God that after all of these violent, noisy things, he hears the whisper of God. Sabbath is about us resting our bodies and our souls. Sabbath is about my body needs rest. My soul needs rest. Now as we work on this and we talk about this, there's some practicality to this. How on earth, living in the time that we live, how on earth do I rest? How can I Sabbath? So, we're going to talk about how to Sabbath. And that's why I brought some props. You know that there's a lot of stuff that we do in life. There's a lot of things that we do. These are a jar full of M&Ms. These are the things we do. 2.5 hours of TV a day, 2.5 hours of social media a day, Xbox, PlayStation, all of the things that we do. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in our life. And if we are not paying attention, we can fill our life up with the stuff of life. And then when it comes time for the important things like work and our family, spending time with God, doesn't fit. We don't have any room in our lives. We don't have any room for the things that are going to go on. But it's going to get a little noisy. If we take our life, one wanted to stick, we say, you know what? My time with God is important. I'm going to prioritize that. My time with my family is important. My time at work is important. My time of rest is important. We fit those into our lives. Then you know what we can do with the rest of this stuff? We don't need social media. It's okay. If we spend our time and prioritize what we're doing, if we schedule our Sabbath time, we can make it fit. We can make it fit with all those other things that go on in our lives. We have to be intentional and schedule what we're doing. We have to schedule and say, you know what? I've got this stuff going on in my life. I need some rest. Here's how I'm going to schedule it. I know that I need 24 hours of Sabbath rest. I need 24 hours where I don't have anything going on. Let's look at all the stuff that I've got going on and let's see, okay, here's where I can get my Sabbath rest. And I'm going to set 24 hours. This is my rest time. You know, yesterday I was resting. I had done some stuff and I was like, okay, for the rest of the day, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to do anything for the rest of the day. Jennifer and Liz were going to go to a movie. I was going to stay home and I was going to watch football. This was going to be great. I laid down to take a nap. Jennifer and I laid down to take a nap, but I kept checking my phone because there was this text thread that I was a part of and I wanted to know the information in it. And so I had my phone next to me and I kept reaching over and looking at it every time I would buzz, and my loving wife looks at me and says, you know, tomorrow you're preaching about rest. Maybe it's time to put the phone down and actually rest. Like, don't preach to the preacher. We have to schedule. We have to be intentional about our rest. We have to be intentional and say, I'm going to set aside the time that I need. Because if we do, everything fits. If we don't, nothing fits. The next thing we have to do is figure out how we rest. And everyone rests differently. Everybody in here rests differently from everybody else. And I'm willing to bet that the married couples in here, you all rest differently. And if you're not talking about things, sometimes your resting differently can cause some tension and some marital adjustment sessions, if I'm not mistaken. I know how I like to rest. I like to rest by reading fiction books. So like if I go to the gym, I listen to books. I don't listen to music. I listen to books. I'm one of those weird people that I'm listening to a book. But Jennifer, when she goes to the gym, she likes to listen to podcasts and stuff. And so she's like, this is podcast. And I'm like, but I'm listening to a book and I'm perfectly fine. It's led to some interesting conversations. One of the ways that I rest is I love to play Xbox. So yesterday when she was gone, I actually played Xbox. I have a game that I've played for several years that I absolutely love, and it's what I play all the time. And she knows sometimes she'll just look at me and she goes, hey, why don't you go play Ark for a while? All right. We've found how we're going to rest together. Now, this is an interesting one. Jennifer doesn't understand this, but I actually rest through refereeing. I found that I love running up and down and just being active and doing things, and really fun when you get to throw a flag at somebody. It's really fun. I found that I rest this way. Because one of the things you have to think about is, if you're someone that works with your mind, if you're someone who sits at a desk and is looking at a computer and doing things, you need to rest by using your hands. You need to rest by being active. If you're someone who is constantly working and up and doing things and being physical, you need to rest with your mind. Sit down, read a book, watch TV. Rest in those ways. You've got to figure out how you rest best. The next thing is Bible study. We've talked about how to rest our bodies. Now we need to talk about how we need to rest our souls. Bible study is an incredibly important thing. And if you didn't hear Troy's sermon from a couple of weeks ago, I encourage you to go on the website, go back and find it, because he did a great job of talking about Bible study, the things that he has been doing in Bible study. There is the only wrong way to study your Bible is to not study your Bible. If you're one of those people that need to take a month to read a chapter, then do it. If you're digging into God's Word and building your relationship with Him, then do it. If you're one of those people that is like, you know what, I want a big picture of the Bible and I'm going to read the entire Bible in a year, then do it. The only wrong way to study your Bible is to not study your Bible. This is what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So we need to be feeding our body with the physical food that we eat, but we also need to be feeding our body, our soul, with the words of God. We need to be spending time with Him doing Bible study. The Bible app has so many great Bible studies that are on there. You can do them by yourself. You can do them with other people. You can get physical Bible studies. You can just every day pick up your Bible and just read through it. Jennifer, for Christmas, she bought herself this huge Bible. It's like this big. I'm not kidding. It's this big because it's several different volumes, because it's got the Bible and then it's got spaces next to it where she can write herself notes. And she has been going through that every morning, and she sits down in our little, we have a love seat that we do our Bible study together, and she sits down and she's just reading the Bible and she's taking notes and doing stuff, and she's been doing a great job of it. She's actually encouraged me. I now have a Bible that's got some spots where I'm taking notes, and we're not doing the same Bible study, but we still talk about stuff as we do it. Bible study is an incredibly important thing for us to be doing. Another thing is community with other believers. If you didn't watch last week's sermon, I encourage you to go back and watch last week's sermon. Troy did a great job of, in an empty room, talking about our need for community. How many of you, as you were watching last week's service, missed sitting in this room with other believers? Missed standing out and getting to talk to people as they walk in and out of the building? Even introverts like me still like to talk to people as they come in and out of the building. We are designed for community. God made us, intending us, for us to spend time together. Troy quoted one of my favorite scriptures. It's from Hebrews chapter 10, and it said, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more that you see the day approaching." We are designed for community. We are designed to come together, to be able to talk together, to be able to share what's going on in our lives with each other and to pray for each other. To say, hey, I've noticed this going on in your life. I've got a group of tight friends that we actually are starting a Bible study together where we're going to meet once a week and we're going to be talking about the things that are going on in our lives. And it was really good. We haven't had a chance to meet yet because of snow, but I'm not complaining. I love snow. So we haven't had a chance to fully meet yet, but we were able to be praying for each other because one of us texted and said, hey, I got this thing going on. I need you guys to pray about it. And so we were praying about it, and then we were able to like follow up and say, hey, Do you have any updates on this so we can change how we're praying? And it's been good for us to have that community feel. To have that community feel of, you know, I've all told you, Andy and I spend a lot of time together, and Andy has a great habit of coming to me and saying, hey, Matt, I think you screwed that up. Let's talk about this. Because we build each other up. Because I spend a lot of time saying, hey, Andy, you screwed that up. We have a great relationship. We have community together. It's important for us to have community with fellow believers. The next thing is that we can spend time in prayer and fasting. Now, if you're really interested to learn more about prayer and fasting, tune in next week when Byron comes to preach on prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting are an incredibly important way for us to have community with God, to get the rest that we need, because it's our opportunity to talk to God and say, God, this is what's going on in my heart. And for us to listen to God and for God to speak to us in different ways. Prayer is an incredibly important way for us to have that relationship with God. And then fasting. I know we all love the conversation about fasting. We all love to know that, hey, maybe if we give up eating or doing something for a particular amount of time. But I can tell you from my experience, when we concentrate and we focus on that time of fasting, it does draw us closer to God. It draws me into a deeper relationship with Him, because I'm sacrificing something so that I can concentrate more on God. Then we can also worship. We can spend time worshiping, and people worship in different ways. I'm a hymn person. Troy and I have this conversation all the time. I love hymns. Troy likes hymns, but doesn't like playing them on the guitar. Did I get that right? Okay. So we have this conversation about hymns. I'm always begging him to do more hymns. We're going to sing a hymn later. So I love hymns. There are other people that really love modern worship music. I'm not as much of a fan of that. But you know what? It's not about my preference. It's about what I'm doing that's going to bring me closer to God. It's what can I be doing and thinking about that's going to bring me closer to God. This is what Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. One of the ways that I've found to rejoice and praise and worship God is, I started this a year ago where I was challenged to every day write a praise. Something good that happened in my life that day. And there were some days where it was a struggle. There were some days where one line wasn't enough for me to do that. But you know what I found is, as I came to the end, as I was sitting at the end of December thinking, hey, I'm about ready to finish this thing up, I started going back through the days and reading the things that were going on and reading the things that I was thankful for and that I was praising God for. Encouraged me to get a new journal. This is a 5-year journal where you actually write. They give you more room to write. You can write a lot of awesome things that God has done. And then for 5 years, you get to go back, and every day where you get to do this, you get to go back and see what you've been praising God for. You get to see where God has been working. I love to, when I'm struggling, I have a playlist on Spotify that I created. It's called Worship is My Weapon. It's some worship songs that I've picked because they speak to me to help bring me out of whatever place that I'm in. There's been several times where I've just been like, man, I'm really struggling. I need to worship. Because it's not my go-to. I'm a sermon kind of guy. I can listen to somebody give a sermon for an hour or two and be perfectly happy. And sing one song, and I'm good. But I've spent some time saying, okay, how can I worship that's going to bring me closer to God? So I have these songs that I listen to on a regular basis. I had some time in December when I was really struggling with something, and Jennifer texted me and said, hey, I love you. Listen to some Christmas music. And I did. And it really brought me closer to God. Spending time worshiping, spending time concentrating on the words of the song, spending time concentrating on devoting my time and energy to God. it brought me rest. We live in a world that is so full of stuff. We live in a world that is so full of distractions. We live in a world that is designed to draw us away from our relationship with God. We have to take the time and say, you know what? My relationship with God, that's the number one orange I'm putting in my jar. And I'm going to prioritize my rest in Him. I'm going to prioritize the fact that I need to be spending time with Him. That there are times where I need to just get away. I need to go for a hike, spend time in nature. I need to go do something. I need to spend time with God. We're getting ready to continue to worship together, and I want to offer you the opportunity, if you're in today and there's just the distractions of life are a lot, and they seem overwhelming. I want to offer you the time as we sing this song. If God's speaking to you and you need to let some things go, I want to invite you to come up and use the stairs as an altar, as a chance to pray, to release those things to God, to start your rest with Him. If you're in here today and you're not a part of the family and you're like, hey, you know what? I really need to build that relationship with God. I want to encourage you to come up. We can talk. Baptistry is open. We are ready. Our relationship with God is the most important thing that we have going on in our lives, and we have to prioritize it. Pray with me, please. Dear God, we just thank You for being the God that You are, for being a God that knew our hearts, knew our struggles, knew our propensity for getting ourselves in over our heads, and that You loved us enough to set Sabbath up for us. And we pray that You be with us and encourage us to continue to rest in You. To encourage us as we continue this service to truly worship You, to put You first, to not be concerned about where we're going after, but to be concerned about where we are right now. God, I just pray that You be with our time, that You would lead us into a deeper relationship with You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.